Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you, Lord God. We give you all the honor, all the glory, all the praise, Lord God, the blessing and the thanksgiving for everything, Lord God, that we have heard, everything, Lord God, that we've seen. We are so thankful, Lord God, for our apostle, thankful for the anointing and the revelation that you're giving to him for us, Lord God. We give you the praise and the honor and the glory for it all. Right now, Lord God, we yield spirit, soul, and body. We thank you for what you're going to say tonight, and we thank you for what you're going to do tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Welcome to our online students. I was asking the question a few minutes ago, how many people had an opportunity to either watch or be here for the 2016 LTMA Impartation Conference? It was nothing like it. If you were fortunate to be here, our apostle says sometimes you were light years ahead of your friends. Amen. And if you missed it, then you missed half of your life. Glory to God. Amen. 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 There were a couple things that I wrote down. This was not the only thing that he said about prayer during the conference, but I did have an opportunity. Can y'all hear me? To write down two things, and I think y'all already have it in your notes. But one of them that I thought was just, you know, I don't know, it just struck me. He said, authority and dominion will not come into a ministry, or in your case, into your ministry, without prayer. Amen. Without prayer. And then he says, praying right has to do with ministry. And then I wrote down these words. I wrote down presence. He said, so important. Power, purpose, provision, positioning, and promises. Amen. These were just a couple of things. Like I said, my ears perked up anytime, you know, he said prayer. My ears were going to perk up to see what it was that I could bring back to class. Amen. We're going to go ahead and we're going to start with chapter 5 in our books. And one of the things I'm pretty sure you're going to run into it also, as you read the chapter now, having participated in the conference, everything you're going to be every other thing you're going to be looking at, you're going to be thinking soul. That's my soul. Okay. The title of our chapter is How to Develop a Constant Prayer Life, and the key there is constant. The author, you know, tells us, he says, another great problem among believers in the area of prayer is that they give up waiting for the answers to their prayers too quickly. You know, they just too quick. If it doesn't happen tomorrow, they just give up. And he says, and thus they quit persevering. He gives us three, I don't know if he's calling them principles or important points. They are commitment, discipline, and perseverance. And remember, we're talking about how to develop a life of constant prayer. So he begins by talking about commitment. He said, well, what is commitment? Commitment means to make a quality decision, to hold fast to that decision for a long period of time, to do it wholeheartedly without looking back. Amen. Now, that's the definition came from your book, so you don't have to write it down. He says that commitment is the first step needed to achieve a constant and continuous prayer life. We have to make the decision to pray every day, knowing that if we don't, God's will and purpose might not be done in our lives, and God will be unable to have a close relationship with us. The key word there is make a decision. You know, and I know, this is the beginning of a new year. We all make what we call New Year's resolutions. Am I right? And so I understand what our author is talking about commitment, but having learned what I learned last week about the soul, you know, I think we have to have that understanding in our spirit and our soul that prayer is important. It is not just enough to say, I'm gonna pray, because everybody says that. You know, I'm gonna pray. And then like the author is saying, you know, you'll do it for a while and then you'll give it up. You say, this is too hard. We're gonna see some other things that he talks about. But again, it is to make a decision. I do agree with that. Amen. But we wanna get that down in us, how important it is. And I think that's why this class is so important, because it's teaching you why we pray. What's the purpose? What's the purpose of prayer? You know, it's not just a ritual. You are actually communicating with God, your Father. God wants to change and touch the lives of people, nations, and continents, and to give them the desire to want and to do. And then I always made a little note, Philippians 2 and 13. It is God who gives us the will to do. Remember? Not only the will, but also to do of his good pleasure. If we don't pray, we are in danger of being victims of temptation. Now, we covered that in another chapter. You know, if you pray, it helps you to be able to resist temptation. So here's the opposite. Well, if you don't pray, you're in danger of being victims of temptation. What should we do with people who are indecisive and uncommitted to prayer? The author refers to Joel chapter 3, verse 14, and it says, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Indecisive people, amen? Our mission as ministers is to encourage people to make a quality decision and to develop a daily prayer habit in which they can approach God and seek his face. Now, the author goes into a lot of discussion about the family and the role of the male in the family. And I'm just going to take just a little turn, and I'm going to use the word head of house. Okay, and I want you to go back to a word that we had in a previous class, and that word was purpose. And remember when we said that the definition was original intent? So when he's talking about the man in the home, that's God's original intent. Am I right? That's the original intent. He says, in the family, the first to lead by example should be the husband. Or head of the house, if there is no husband, okay? Followed by the wife and the children. According to our author, there are four ways men can use, or the head of the house, to bring God's glory and blessings into their homes and over certain situations. Okay, so the man is supposed to be the first, followed by the wife, followed by the children. This gives us a little clue about some homes, am I right? You know, Apostle is always talking about, you know, women and how we are detailed and how, you know, you're giving an assignment to a woman, I'm going to say 8 times out of 10, we're going to stick to it. We're going to do our best to try to fulfill it. I can't speak for a man. I don't know. We got some men in here. Y'all need to speak up. Y'all need to say something. Y'all need to say something. I mean, our author, I want y'all to know, our author is really, really a stickler here. You know, he's just talking about the role of the man in the home and how the man should be the one to take the lead. Okay? The man. Okay, and then he talks about these four ways in which the man can lead and bring God's glory and blessings. Listen at that. God's glory and blessings into their homes. The first one, he says, be the first one to serve. When men lead, blessings will increase. Or when the head of the household, remember that. When the head of the household leads. For example, you got a mother and five children. Well, when those five children see the mother praying, think about that, then it's going to let them know, well, you know, I need to pray too. That's the one thing that I can remember growing up. We had a lot that was modeled for us that I think children today may not be seeing, not because these are not good people. It's because everybody's in a hurry. Right. You know, everybody's ripping and running. And, you know, I can remember my grandmother. I mean, and, you know, when she prayed, you know, the whole house heard her. And she took us to prayer meeting. You know, it's like, are we doing that today? You know, maybe here at Word of Life, but not everywhere. It's not being done everywhere. Amen. So the head of the house or the man, well, if it's a mother and a father, the man should be the first one to serve. Amen. That's according to our author. I agree. Number two, he says he should be the first one to praise and worship. Nah, come on. Most time, who's going to praise and worship? Who? The women, the women. But God's original intent was for the man to be the first. Because if a man is doing this, then everybody else in the house is going to follow. And then the main thing, you know, he said, then this is going to increase God's glory and blessings in the home. So if God's glory and God's blessings are not in the home, then, you know, maybe men need to be the first. Need to be the first. Look, I'm just telling you what your author said. This is what your author said. Okay. The number three, he says, the man should be the first one to pray. Listen, everybody. First one to pray, ideally. When men take the initiative to pray and to seek God's presence, the blessings will increase in their homes. Now, get this. According to the author, men have a level of authority that women do not have, talking about in the home. It is the authority that they have as high priests of the house. That's God's original intent. The man has been given the position of high priest of the house. In this position, the priestly blessing upon the family is loosed through the man. The priestly, amen? The priestly blessing is released upon the family through the man because God has given him this level of authority in the home. And that's why it's so important for him to be able to lead the family by example, to be the first one to pray, the first one to praise, the first one to worship, the first one to serve. Amen. That's why it's so important. I can remember, and it's a little different. Dr. Leroy Thompson Jr. was ministering one day. And I mean, this thing just caught me. You know, it's like you do one of those little neck jerks. He says, our apostle has been given clearance to go places, talking about in the spirit, that we can't go. Amen. So if you think about the home, think about the home. What our author is saying, that in the home, the man has been given a spiritual clearance to be able to do some things that nobody else in the house is going to be able to do. And that is why it is so important for men to take the lead in the home, or the head of the household to take the lead in the home. My mother and I laughed one time because back in the day, well, let me see. First of all, he's letting you know that my mother and I were water baptized at the same time. And she said when I got saved that she could not have a child in her house saved and her not be saved. So she made a decision. She made a commitment that she was going to get saved. Why? So that then she could lead her house. You know, because, I mean, I couldn't do it. I was a child. She had to be. Now, she didn't understand what we're understanding tonight. Amen. But something in her said, I can't have a child that's saved and me not be saved. Amen. All right. Glory to God. And then the man also, remember, there's four things now. He should also be the first one to give tithes. The windows of heavens are open and the blessings are poured upon the finances when the man takes the initiative, or the head of the house, to be the first one. Amen? Amen. All right. So again, those four things: be the first one to serve, the first one to praise and worship, and the first one to pray ideally, and the first to give tithes. And all of this, our author is discussing under commitment. Remember that, commitment. Then he goes on and he talks about discipline. He says, discipline means to submit our flesh in servitude in order to achieve a goal. So what you're doing is you're taking your flesh and you're submitting your body, okay? And you're saying, you know, you're going to serve. Discipline is not the goal, but it is the means to your goal. This is how we get there. The goal for this lesson is to pray without ceasing and to persevere in prayer. Discipline is the means that we use when we make the commitment. We make a commitment, and then you've got to be disciplined to carry out that commitment. And we're having a commitment to have a prayer life that is constant and to establish a relationship with God. When we place discipline as a priority in our lives, it will help us to develop self-control. Okay? Self-control. And then he talks about Paul, and he says, how did Paul discipline himself? And this is a scripture that we're all familiar with, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. It says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Anybody here have an Amplified Bible? Somebody said yes. Yeah. Okay. 1 Corinthians 9, 27. Okay.
And it reads, but like a boxer, I buffet my body, handle it roughly, discipline it by hardships, and subdue it for fear that after proclaiming to others the gospel and things pertaining to it, I myself should become unfit, not stand a test, be unproved and rejected as a counterfeit.
Wow, rejected as a counterfeit. If we don't do something with this body, if we don't bring it under subjection. Amen? Amen. That's all he's saying. You know, because I had one, but mine, it didn't read like that. He says Amplified, but I knew it wasn't Amplified when I read it. It's like, no, there's more to that. Okay? So bring your body under subjection. To what? To who? To what? Huh? Y'all know. to the word. I heard somebody say the word. Good, good. And your spirit and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So that's what you want to do. Your body is not, and we learned that last week too. Your body is not in control. It is not in control. It's going to follow the leader. The body is always doing Simon Says. You know? And who is Simon? You know, who's the strongest? You know, your spirit or your unrenewed soul. Amen. Just remember that. The flesh, and we've talked about this before too. The flesh never wants to pray. Remember that? I'm tired. I'm sleepy. I'm sleepy. I'm hungry. I don't feel like it. You know, that's what the flesh says all the time. Discipline helps us to submit our flesh to God's will. Submit your flesh. You know, I share with y'all that, you know, here at Word of Life Christian Center, we have intercessors. Some of you are intercessors in other churches. But here at Word of Life Christian Center, for some reason, and nobody asked us to do this. Nobody told us to do it. All Apostle said was to pray. But we have intercessors who will pray for our apostle 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning. Okay. By 7:30 in the morning, 13 of us have prayed an hour or more already. Okay. Now, I want y'all to know our bodies don't always want to get up and pray. You know, it will scream some days. Don't let the temperature go down. It's cold. or it's hot. You know, it could be it's hot too. But then we have to bring that body under subjection. And there are times, you know, we start off, you know, I can't speak for everybody. I can only speak for myself. You know, you start off like, oh, my God. Oh, you know. But it's a commitment that we've made. We have made this quality decision that we want to pray. You know, our apostle gives us assignments. We also pray for him. And we've all committed to it. And about 10, 15 minutes into that prayer, all of a sudden, whatever it is that your body was telling you, it leaves. It's got to go. It has got to go because it's no. Man, you're going to plow through this thing. You're going to plow through. You're going to do it until that assignment is complete. Amen? Amen. Amen. So here we're talking about discipline. Okay, we've looked at commitment. You've made the decision. Now you got to do something, you know, with this body, and you got to bring this body under subjection to follow through. You know, I think this is a good little lesson. Again, you know, this is the time of year everybody talks about losing weight. Everybody talks about losing weight. You know, we're going to have to bring this body under subjection. You know, I bought this big treadmill. I bought this treadmill. I do have a treadmill. I had a bike too. I had to get rid of the bike. I just said, no, I'm not gonna use the bike. I had to get rid of it. And I have made a commitment, but it wasn't a quality decision. I want you to know that because I haven't done it. You know, I said, oh man, you know, this is the most I weighed in such a long time. I got to do something. You know, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. You know, yeah, he going to help me. He going to help me, but he waiting on me to make the quality decision and to have the discipline to get on the treadmill or to use the tape. I mean, it's on me. You know, he is going to help me. I know that. He's done it before. He's done it before. You know, and when it happens, I'll let y'all know. Amen. Glory to God. But we're talking about prayer now. We're talking about prayer. Amen. Okay, but I'll let y'all know. Then the third, and I call them characteristics. You know, the author doesn't, he doesn't call them, all he says is important points, but I call them characteristics. So the first one was commitment. The second one was discipline. And let's look at perseverance. And then he uses this long Greek word that I'm not really too much on this time. But it's P-R-O-S-K-A-R-T-E-R-E-S-I-S. That is the Greek word for perseverance. And it means to insist, to be strong until. And I have that in quotation marks. To be strong until, to persevere, to remain steadfast, to stay in one place instead of abandoning it, to have consistency, or to be consistent with a person or a thing. Persevere. Now, I am one of those people. Some people call me stubborn, but I'll hang in there. I'll hang in there till the last. I have found that it's good and it's bad. You know, sometimes you got to move on, but I'm still hanging in there. Has it paid off? Sometimes it does, but not all the time. Not all the time. But I do persevere when it comes to the things of God. Amen. He gives us several scriptures. They're in your book, Acts 1 and 14. I'll just go over them briefly. These all continued with one accord in prayer. That's the word, continued. Continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Romans 12 and 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing, there we go, instant in prayer. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watch thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Amen. It is so important. That's what this whole lesson is all about. To persevere. You know, a lot of times we think we can pray tonight and see the answer tomorrow. You may. It can happen. But a lot of times I heard Apostle use that word again tonight. It's a process. Amen. It's a process. And once you know that it is the will of God, well, I'm going to use the word. Once you know it's already done. Amen. That it's yours. You just stick with it. Stick with it until it shows up. And you know, we're learning now, I got to get it in my soul. When I get it in my soul, then I know God says it's mine and it's mine already. Just go ahead on and believe him for it. Amen. Hallelujah. Persevere. Persevere. The author says that there are three great enemies of every believer. Those enemies are pride, fear, and lack of perseverance. And guess what I wrote in the margin of my notes? Soul. I wrote soul, S-O-U-L, soul. Pride. I guess that's a thought, right? That's an attitude. Fear, definitely a feeling. Amen. Lack of perseverance. All of this is coming from the soul. So he's saying these are great enemies of every believer. Pride. This sin opens the door to every other sin. And then, you know, he tells us about Lucifer, who talks about he had so much pride that he was going to exalt himself. He was going to be like the Most High. He got kicked out. Amen. That's pride. Then fear. He says, this spirit paralyzes you. So pride opens the door. Fear paralyzes you. It is an obstacle that impedes you from being successful. And then lack of perseverance. He says, pride opens the door to every sin. Fear binds and paralyzes. And the lack of perseverance immobilizes. amen, immobilizes and detains you from going forward. You find people that begin projects, but they never finish them. Amen. These are people who have lack of perseverance. Inconsistency is an evil deed. Inconsistency. The Word of God teaches that we should persevere in prayer, doctrine, salvation, and grace, in fulfilling the Word of God and in doing what is right. We should persevere. We often give up on prayer. We start out with enthusiasm for a time, but later we stop or slow down, causing our spiritual life to dry up. Amen. What did Jesus say about perseverance and consistency? Luke 18 and 1, and he, meaning Jesus, spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always, look at that, always to pray and not to faint. Jesus emphasized two very important points. Number one, prayer is a necessity. We need to pray because we have to have communion with God. We are called to do it. God wants to establish His will on earth and to change the will of men. Remember, prayer helps us from falling into temptation. Prayer is a necessity. Number two, Jesus is emphasizing pray without ceasing and don't lose heart. Don't faint. Amen. The word lose heart means to fail wholeheartedly, to lose your courage, to want to give up. Amen. Amen. So Jesus is telling us, you know, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Amen. I don't think we're going to go into the ask, seek, and knock. I think we'd go over time if we did that. Amen. So next week we will begin with what else did Jesus say concerning perseverance in prayer. And what our author calls this, he calls this, I think I said this last year for the second year students who are still here, he calls it levels of prayer. You know, you start off asking, and if you don't see your answer, then you start, you go on to seeking, ask, and then you seek. I guess you're looking for the answer, huh? Amen. Why? I don't have it. Why? I don't have it. And then he says, then you go on and knock. Now, his idea of knocking was to just knock, 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 knock till it falls in. Amen? You know, you just knock until that door just falls open for you. Amen? All right. That's it for tonight. Thank y'all so much.
Thank you.
Y'all be blessed, and I'll see you next week. Make sure that everybody signs the roll.